All right, we're going to get into our word today. We are in our covenant series, and the premise behind the series is San Francisco doesn't need another worship service. It doesn't need another Sunday service. It needs a covenant community. And so in this season, we're going to learn what it means to be a covenant community. And so today, I'm really excited to get into my talk about promises. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at the ancient Jewish wedding ceremony, all the elements that the bride and the groom used to do back in the day, and we're gleaning from those things ways that God has called us to engage with one another in covenant. And so, remember last week we talked about the cutting of the animal and then the walk of death, that Jesus, he was the animal cut for us so that we can walk into his life. And today we're going to talk about promises, the power of our words with one another. Before we do, I'm just going to share a quick story. I had a lot of problems growing up, but specifically in college, I had this one small problem, and it was this. I loved to lie. And really, I blame my friend Christopher, because when I first met Christopher, he told me, "Hey, Mickey, I'm actually in the FBI." And for some reason, I just believed him. And then later, he'd be like, "I'm just kidding. I'm not in the FBI." I thought it was so funny. So I was like, you know what? Like, it's fun to lie to people. And because I kind of looked at it like joking. And I had this rule, like, if I lie and the lie goes past 24 hours, then it's a sin. But if I tell people I'm kidding before that, it's a joke. And so we used to lie all the time together. Like, he was my partner in crime. Like, he'd come up to, we'd meet new people, and he'd be like, "Oh, yeah, we're on the World Cup soccer team." And then I'd be like, "Yeah, I just joined last week," and they wouldn't believe us anymore. But that was just kind of what we loved to do. We just loved to joke with people. We thought it was hilarious. But it got really bad. I knew it was really bad when me and my friend David went to go visit a church in Southern California. I won't name the church, but we went to two services that day. And we thought it's so hilarious if we go to church and we just make up a name of who we are and make up a brand new identity. And so I remember the first service I went to, I told people my name is Perry, and I'm a computer analyst for the FBI. And then David, he said his name is Horatio or something. And we ended up having a great service. Everyone was like, "It's nice to meet you, Perry. Nice to meet you, Horatio." We ate lunch, and we found out there was a service again after lunch, and another service. So we went to that service. And, you know, if we were smart, we probably would have made up new names and new, or kept the same name and identity. But we went to this service, and we became brand new people. Everything was fine. We finished service, and we all go out to eat after. But what we did not anticipate is that the two groups, the two services, would meld together at In-N-Out. And so I remember one person that I met at the first service was introducing me to someone that I had already met at the second service. It's like, "Hey, I want you to meet my friend Perry." And the girl was like, I thought your name was Hank. I was like, "Oh, hey guys, I was just joking. Isn't that funny?" And the girl, like stone cold, looked at me and said, "That's not funny. Why would you do that?" And she walked away. That's when I knew I had a problem. But that's just the kind of guy I was in college. I just loved to joke around, and I would lie. But this is when I knew it was really, really bad. All my close friends, whenever I'd tell them something, they wouldn't believe me. Krista was in my close circle of friends in college, and she wouldn't believe a single word that I said. And so there's one time we were having a conversation about comedian Margaret Cho. And little known fact, Margaret Cho is actually my first cousin. And so I told my friends, "Hey, oh my God, you know Margaret's my cousin?" And no one believed me. But this is what I did. I said, seriously, Margaret's my cousin. They wouldn't believe me. So I said this, "All right, I swear on my mom's life." Come on, how many of you guys have ever done that? "I swear on my mom's life, Margaret's my cousin." But because I lied so much, they still didn't believe me then. So I had to bring out the haymaker. I was like, "I swear to God." And a reverence fell, and they're like, "Oh, okay, he must be telling the truth." Except Krista. Krista still does not believe me to this day. But the question I want to ask you today is, are you true to your word? And maybe you're not a compulsive liar like I was, but how many of you have had trouble keeping your commitments? Or you said you'd do something but didn't follow through? Or how about this one? You told someone you would pray for them. Come on, you did a holy, sacred act, and you ain't pray for them. Or how about this? Oh, some there's going to be conviction. How many of you struggle showing up on time? I have a friend in our group of friends, and I won't name no names, but this brother of mine, everyone knows that he's going to show up late. Like, he's just consistently late. So when we're meeting up, we just expect he's going to be here an hour after we said we're going to meet. So honestly, sometimes we tell him we're going to meet an hour in advance. Someone's laughing because they know who it is, but it's just that all of us have that friend, or maybe it's you. You have trouble keeping your word. I think it's true that all of us struggle keeping our word, being true to the words that are coming out of our mouths. I found some very alarming statistics. They say 90% of children learn to lie by the age of 4. I think I learned by the age of 2. But anyway, they say 60% of adults that they tested couldn't last 10 minutes without lying at least one time. 60% of adults. And it's not even they're consciously aware that they're lying. It's just become so habitual. This might be relevant to some of y'all. 90% of online dating users lie in their profiles. Come on. You don't want no scrubs, okay? You gotta double check those profiles. And so we see that our society, we have a problem being true to our word. We've lost the reverence and the value for the words that come out of our mouths. Back in ancient Israel, you were only as good as your word. Your character, your literal character, your being hung on every word that you spoke and your ability to follow through. Your very identity was on the line every time that you opened your mouth. I think that we've lost reverence for the words that we speak, and we speak words loosely as if they hold no power. It's okay if I'm not on time. They understand. Oh my God, I forgot to follow through. It's okay. Like, there's grace. But I think what covenant community does is we begin to take up the sacredness of our words, that when we say we're going to do something, we follow through. So God has something to say about this, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Covenant community is first and foremost built on trust. And trust is established by our ability to keep our word. I want you to think about this. Think about someone that you trust. How did you build that trust with them? Was it this magical thing that just happened, like, I'm just around you a lot and trust? No. Trust can only be built and established by the words that we speak and our ability to stay true to the words that we speak. I trust you because you kept my secret. I trust you because you came through like you said you would. I trust you because you were there like you promised to be. Our words matter. And the thing that we're looking at today, the act of promises, in the ancient Jewish wedding ceremony, there was a time when the two people making the covenant would come to the altar and they would share their vows and their promises to one another. And this was a special moment because it highlighted the sacredness of their words. Now, not many of you are married here, but Krista and I were married 3 years ago, and our wedding was the most beautiful wedding. And I have a picture from our wedding. Yeah, that's a good one. Next one too. I don't know why, but I was just a hot mess. You could go back to the first picture. You know, our wedding was great. We had a lot of friends and family that came through. We had good food. We took a lot of fun pictures. But I don't know about you, Krista, but the moment that I remember the most is when we were standing in front of each other. And I remember we were a hot mess. We couldn't keep our tears in. And it's like at that moment when we were facing each other, it's like everyone else in the room just disappeared and we were just looking at each other. And we did something called the sharing of the vows. And many of you know the vows, the classic wedding vows. We started to recite it to one another, but they weren't just words. They weren't just weak promises. There's a sacredness to that moment that, as I was saying to you, in sickness and in health, in life and in death, there was a reverence, a weightiness to the words that we're speaking to one another. That's why I'm crying. That's why I'm a hot mess, because it was a sacred moment. And this, in the ancient Jewish wedding ceremony, was one of the most beautiful moments where people would exchange their promises to one another. And this is the picture that God wants us to remember when we are having covenant relationship with one another. Now, I'm not married to you guys. I'm only married to my wife. Hallelujah. But the way that God has called us to interact with one another is to keep our word, to keep our promises as if we were at that altar sharing our vows with one another. There's a sacredness and a reverence. That's why promises are so important. We got these temporary tattoos that you guys can actually get at the table. Seabell designed them. They're amazing. So we actually got this for you so you could remember throughout the week to keep your word. But today we're going to look at Matthew 5, 33 through 37. And this is what it says. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Come on, you know there's tears to this. Sometimes when people ain't believing you, you have to swear to God, right? But you know what? The reason why Jesus was telling this to people back then is because people became so untrustworthy with the words that they were speaking that whenever they wanted to be believed, they had to swear to a name more reliable than their own. And so how many of you know that when you have to swear to God, it's because you can't swear by your name, that you are not reliable or trustworthy enough. Your character and your name cannot hold the weight of that truth. And so you have to swear by another name. It should bother us when we have to swear by another name if our yeses and our noes by themselves are not enough. I want to propose to you, what if what we say in the church, we actually do? That when I tell you I'm going to do something, when I say I'm going to be there, that I actually do it. And I don't have to say, I swear this time it'll be different. I promise to God I'll be on time this time. I promise to God I'm going to finish and come through. What if our yeses could simply be yeses and our noes be noes? Keith and Trader wrote this phenomenal book on covenant that we're drawing from for this series. He says this, God is vigilant that whatever words come out of his mouth, he will fulfill. As God is the ultimate covenant keeper, he believes that the formulating of every word is an act of making covenant. Every word that comes out of his mouth is cutting covenant. God stands behind every word he speaks. And we should have the same character about us. I want you to consider that for a second. Every word that God speaks, every statement he makes, he's drafting a brand new covenant for that word. And remember, we learned last week about the cutting of the animal. The reason why the wedding ceremony started with the cutting of the animal, and the reason why the couple walked through, the people who were making the covenant, because they were saying that if I violate this covenant, I deserve to be cut in half like this animal. And God is saying every time he speaks, he's putting his life on the line, saying, if I do not follow through on my word, I deserve to be cut like this animal. His life is on the line to fulfill every word that comes out of his mouth. And we ought to place our lives behind every word we speak. I know it sounds intense. I know it sounds extreme. But this is the covenantal God that we follow and serve. See, our faithfulness to seemingly insignificant things we say yes to will be the same faith that empowers a prayer of epic proportion. I'll give you this another quote. Keith and Trader, he says this, if a person believes he can operate great faith through the words of his prayers, and yet not be faithful in the everyday words of his everyday life and conversation, he is self-deceived. He is a cloud without water carried by the wind. What's he saying? We can come here and we can say, God, would you heal the nations? God, would you move in my family? God, would you break through in this way? Would you break through in that way? But if we can't keep our simple word saying that I'm going to be there when you told me to be there, I'm going to keep the promises that I've made with you in the everyday little things, our grand words, our epic prayers have no power. Yeah. Our words matter. There's no power in the words of our big prayers if we can't keep our word in the small things of everyday life. I remember at a church I was at previously, there was a prophetess in the midst of us. And she was a self-proclaimed prophet. And I remember one time she got up in front of the mic and in front of the people and she said, I just have this prophetic word. I feel like God is bringing people back into community. And people were like, amening. But see, I had a problem with what she was saying because she had signed up for community group 3 months ago but has not shown up one single time. And here she is prophesying, everyone, God's calling you back to community. And she couldn't keep her word coming to community group even once. Listen, that's what it's like when we're not able to keep our word, but we're asking God for big and greater things. A person who wants to become a covenant man or a covenant woman must train themselves to be faithful, big or small, to every word that comes out of their mouths. Matthew 12:36-37. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. How many of our words return empty? How many of our words remain unfulfilled? I think that we need to discipline ourselves to say only the words that we are committed to keeping. I think we need to be a lot more intentional about fulfilling the words that are coming out of our mouths. We need to take seriously the words we speak. And so today we're just going to end with some practical ways that we could do this as we pursue covenant community with one another, because we want a community of trust and faithfulness. There's two categories that I'm going to put this into. Number one, these are commitment statements. And the first thing that I want to touch upon, and I've been ragging on it a lot, is punctuality. Come on, how many of you, oftentimes we fail to be on time. How many of you have been there before? Just raise your hand so we don't all feel like sinners. And it feels like it's such a small thing, doesn't it? But I believe that faithfulness in the little things matter. And I want us to be a community. And honestly, this isn't just because, you know, we're running a tight ship here and running production. I believe in order for covenant to work, there has to be trust and there has to be weight if I say I'm going to be there by this time. We exercise greater covenant with our workplaces sometimes than we do with the own body of Christ. Come on, some of y'all know if you show up to work late, you're going to get chewed out. You're going to get, you know, part of your paycheck. I don't know if people still do that. I don't know. But you know that there are consequences when you don't show up on time to work. But how many of you know some of us are more faithful in keeping punctuality in our workplaces than in the own body and the family of Christ? I want us to take seriously the call to be on time, to say if I'm going to be there at this time, that I will be there. Number two, follow through. Oftentimes, we tell people we're going to do something, but fail to follow through. Last night, for example, I told Krista I will close the window before we sleep. I fell asleep. We woke up, and our throats were scratchy. You know, honestly, if you guys know the Enneagram, I'm a type 7, and we're really good at starting things, but we're really horrible at finishing things. And I'm preaching to myself, like I might as well just be sitting right there, because I believe that we have to be people that follow through on our commitments, on the things that we say we're going to do. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's with a family member. Maybe it's with a friend. Maybe it's with a church person. Whatever it might be, will you follow through? And the third is prayer. Oftentimes we tell people we're going to pray for them, but we never do. I feel God convicting all of us right now. And I read from this book something that's really helpful to start doing, and something that Krista's actually teaching me to do, is instead of saying, hey, I'll pray for you later, bro, or I'll pray for you later for that, instead of saying that, just say, why don't we just pray right now? And I think that's a small change that we can make, because I think this is something that we violate. You know, this is a sacred violation when we say we're going to pray for someone and we fail to do it. And so one way that we can combat that is to say, hey, let's pray for this right now. And so these are the commitment statements. When I say I'm going to do something, I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to show up to community group on time. I'm going to show up to work on time. When I'm hanging out with you, I'm going to hang out on time. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to follow through. If I tell you I'm going to pray for you, I actually will pray for you. But how many of you know there's a layer deeper than just commitment statements with our words? And this is what we call layered speech. And I think these are the more unknowing violations of our covenant that we kind of forget about. The first is this: exaggerated speech. Some of us exaggerate details in our stories, in our lives, because of our insecurities. We exaggerate in our workplaces to look like we're better employees than we actually are. We exaggerate among our friends so we don't feel like we're at the bottom of the totem pole. We're not behind. I remember when I met up with some of my friends from a long time ago in college, we were catching up a number of years back. And I remember they were sharing stories about what God has been doing in their lives. Like, yeah, man, you know, I went to India. And this thing happened, that thing happened, almost got arrested, evaded the police, and then we saw thousands of people come, thousands of people come to Christ. And I remember sitting there, I'm like, shoot, what have I done these past few years? Like, and all of a sudden, I felt a temptation to begin exaggerating my stories. So he was asking, so what are you doing right now? Oh, I'm a pastor. I was like, oh, cool, what church? You know, I told him my church name. He's like, oh, how big is your church? And I was like, 300 people. But I knew in my mind, we was only 150 at the time. I was thinking the Easter service, y'all. I was like, 300. It's like, whoa, that's actually pretty big for the Bay Area. I was like, I know, I'm a pastor. 300 people, you know? He's like, oh, that's awesome, man. Like, what ministry are you leading? I wasn't the associate pastor at the time, but I was like, associate pastor. It's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Sometimes when we feel insecure and we feel smaller than or behind, we find ourselves exaggerating our speech. And this is also a violation of covenant. Number two, passive aggressive speech. Oh Lord, you need to break this off of the shaka. Very famous quote, say what you mean and mean what you say. In covenant community, you don't need to dance around what you're trying to say, what you need and what you want. I got another friend. We were on a trip to Portland, and we were doing this hike. And this friend, I call it Instagram Bay, because everywhere we go, he's trying to find the right Instagram picture of himself for his feed. But the thing is, he never directly asks for it. And so this is what he does. We're on the hike, and my friend comes up to me. He's like, dude, you look so good right there. You want me to take a photo of you? I was like, sure. And I knew what he was doing, so I was playing along. I gave him my phone. He's like, yeah, that's it right there, portrait mode. Ooh, that's fire, that's fire. He took the picture of me. And I knew in my gut that what he really wanted, he didn't want to take my picture. He really just wanted a picture of himself right there. So what I did is I said, oh, thanks, man. And I just walked away. He ran after me. He's like, oh, hey, how do you think I would look over there? And I was like, you'd probably look good. And I moved on. And he came after me. He's like, hey, do you think I'd look good in that? It would be cool if I had a profile picture. And I just told him, just tell me what you want. Like, you don't have to beat around the bush. You don't have to dance around it. But I find sometimes in our communities, we do that with one another, where we use passive-aggressive speech because we're afraid of actually articulating our needs. We're afraid of being seen as needy or as someone who is lower than or needs or is somehow weak. But we have to cut out the passive-aggressive speech. And the last one is this, people-pleasing speech. Some of us don't know how to say no. And it's not because you're a good person. It's because you're a people-pleaser. And I'm actually preaching to myself because I have a really hard time doing this. But church, we need to learn how to say no. Every yes we say automatically produces 1,000 no's to so many other things. And so we have to treat our yeses as sacred. And so just because pastor comes up to me and asks me to help doesn't mean that I'm obligated to say yes. Listen, I want you guys, I'm probably putting myself in a corner here, but I want you guys to tell us no sometimes. We want to establish a culture where you know the healthy boundaries that you need to set up so that the yeses that you do say actually mean something. We need to make our yeses count. And if you can't give a solid yes, you know, one suggestion is you can always ask for more time to think about it. You don't always have to give an answer up front, but we need to be careful about using people-pleasing speech, saying yes just because I want to be validated or accepted or useful. We have to be very selective with the yeses that we release, and we have to be more comfortable saying no, especially here in the church. And so our words matter. Our commitment statements matter. When we say we're going to be on time, we need to be on time. When we say we're going to follow through, we should follow through. When we say we're going to pray, we need to pray. But also the layered speeches, the unknowing, ambiguous things in our lives when we're talking, the exaggerated speech, the passive-aggressive speech, the people-pleasing speech, we need to be aware of so that every word that we speak reflects the covenant-making God that we serve. Remember, if we could speak the way God speaks, where every word becomes an act of making covenant, how much more sacred will our promises be? In other words, what I'm simply inviting you to is being able to say with the full conscience, what I said is what I meant. Very simple. If you don't remember anything else, what I said is what I meant. That the words that come out of my mouth, I will be faithful to fulfill, and that it will be an accurate representation of what's inside of me. And so every word that we speak should be an expression of our covenant-keeping God who lives in our hearts. And I want you to imagine for a second, what would church look like if I could trust the words of my brothers and sisters? What would church look like? What would community group look like? What would Sunday services look like if this place is a place that I can trust? I know that I could count on the people to my left and my right. Covenant is built on trust. Trust is established through the words that we speak and fulfill. And so let's be a church that is serious about establishing covenant through our words, through our promises, through our vows with one another. Why don't we close our eyes? And I just want us to take time to respond to what God is saying. I feel like God wants some of us to repent. I feel like God wants some of us to say, God, I'm sorry for not being someone whose yeses are yeses, whose no's are no's. I'm sorry for adding the maybes or the I'm sorry's or it's not a big deals. God, I'm sorry for not taking my words seriously. God, I pray that we would have the same reverence for our words that you have for every word that you speak. God, you've given us authority through our word. You've given us power through our words. Would we be faithful to keep them? Would we be able to say, as the prophet said, that every word that goes forth will not come back void? It will not come back empty. We thank you first and foremost for being the covenant-keeping God, for being the one who has never broken a promise in all of time, in all of history, with every single human existence. You have never once broken your word or your promise. May we carry the heart of our covenant-keeping God, that every word that we speak would mean something. And so, God, we repent if we have been tardy, if we haven't been punctual. God, let us be faithful in keeping the little things so that when we speak the greater things, they will have authority and weight behind them. God, we repent if we fail to follow through with our friends, with our family, with our coworkers. God, give us grace and give us a drive to fulfill every word that we speak. And God, we repent if we haven't prayed for those we said that we're going to pray for. In these three practical ways, God, would you help us use our committed speech responsibly and to use it well. And God, we repent for exaggerations. We repent for passive aggressiveness. God, we repent for people pleasing. I pray, God, that we would be aware of the words that we speak, that it would be an accurate overflow of our heart instead of a charade or a mask that we use to save ourselves. May we use our words responsibly. May it be what's actually inside of us every time that we open our mouths. And so, God, help us be a covenant community that keeps promises, that says words that accurately reflect who we are, that uses every word that we say, that uses the speech from our lips to establish covenant with one another. God, we give you our words. And this week, God, would you stir our hearts to be intentional about being true to every word that we speak. This week, may we be intentional by keeping our commitments, our promises, and our vows. And this week, God, would you give us the authority and the power to speak words of life, words of truth, words of your grace.